Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, gentle listeners. It is I, your humble host, Bill Hatch III. I am in the mobile studios right now, almost home base. Had some meetings and whatnot throughout the day. I'm actually dressed for church, you might say. Got the suit and the tie and everything on. So it's a little more formal this evening. But I'm joined via telephone by my father, Chaplain Hatch. How you doing, Pop?
I'm doing well, thank you. And good evening, blog talkers everywhere. Hope everyone is doing well. I'm here outside of New Orleans in one of the suburbs called Harvey, Louisiana. And I know we have at least one Missourian who's listening in. That would be my wife, Bill's mom. So good evening, my love. And we're going to start off with Romans chapter 15, beginning at verse 20. So here goes. And this is Paul writing to the Romans. And thus I aspired to preach the gospel, not where Christ was already named, that I might not build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, they who had not had no news of him shall see, and they who have not heard shall understand. For this reason, I have often been hindered from coming to you. Paul, like everybody else, had his own desires of what he wanted to do and planned to do, and then how God would change those.
Man plans, God laughs.
And Paul had a needed ego when it came to desiring to do the will and kingdom of God in Jesus' name. He was always trying and endeavoring to go places that had not had anyone there yet. I don't think Paul focused a whole lot back on Acts chapter 2.
Okay, hold on. Sorry, I had some technical difficulties. The phone dropped the call. Hold on, I'm going to bring Pop back in. Raise him from the depths of dropped calls. I wonder if he's still talking. Come on. I do apologize.
I didn't hang up.
No, I didn't either. It just disconnected. It disconnected everything. But thank you.
What it did last time.
Nope. This was a completely different thing, and it gave me the opportunity to save the episode. So there's going to be some interesting blank time, but we are back on the air. So yay!
Okay, we're back on the air, and having no idea where we got cut off at, Paul wanted to go to Spain after he stopped in Rome.
Right.
That's why he's writing the letter and letting them know it's his desire to do that. Because, and he quotes from Isaiah chapter 52 about they who had no news of him shall see, and they who have not heard shall understand. That's all wrapped up in verse 21. But that's what Paul was hoping to do. He was hoping to go to a new area to preach to people about Jesus who had never heard about him. And for the, if I was not cut off, I was referring back to Acts chapter 2, where Paul, or not Paul, but the apostles were in the upper room and received the Holy Spirit. But there were visitors from all over the Roman world. And so it wasn't as new as he was hoping it would be, but certainly he wanted to extend the God, kingdom of God to people who had, for the most part, not heard about it before. Al, are you ready to do some reading?
Almost.
Okay, well, then I'm going to finish off. I'm going to keep going.
Okay, keep going.
Verse 22, where Paul was saying, for this reason I have often been hindered from coming to you. He really wanted to use Rome as a jumping off place to go further west, meaning over to Spain. And that was always a plan of his, and it was indeed to keep going. So with verse 23, it says, but now with no further place for me in these regions, and since I have had for many years a longing to come to you whenever I go to Spain, for I hope to see you in passing and to help and to be helped on my way there by you when I have first enjoyed your company for a while. Okay, so the preacher Paul has come to Rome and he's letting them know that he's coming, and his object is only to stay there a little while and then hopefully get support, missionary support, to keep going, and it's over to Spain. And it's really a very nice way of doing things, letting people know that you're coming and that you're not going to stay a very long time. You never want to wear out welcome, that's for sure. But Paul really had this desire to enjoy some of the nice things about Rome. This never happened for Paul. Paul went to Rome under house arrest, which meant he was physically chained to a Roman guard soldier 24/7. And he didn't exactly have the freedom of movement that he wanted, but others could come to him, so he still got to preach. We know that at the end of 2 years, we faithfully know that after 2 years of house arrest in Rome, he did go before Caesar. Now, after that, it's outside of Scripture, so it gets difficult. There is a large group of folks that believe Paul was released once and then went on to Spain like he wanted to, but then got brought back to Rome and was set before Caesar again, at which time he was martyred. But that's really outside of the Scriptures, and therefore we shouldn't keep it in our view for this. But it is the point that he had plans to go one way to Rome. He ended up going under house arrest. And he was writing this to them before that whole arrest period came, because in verse 25 it goes on, but now I'm going to Jerusalem, serving the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. Yes, they were pleased to do so, and they are indebted to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in their spiritual things, they are indebted to minister to them also in material things. Okay, I need to pause there. Paul is putting forward the idea of how to support others in need. He lets them know that he's headed to Jerusalem. And this is the trip when he will be arrested and then sent to Rome, and takes quite a while to get there. But it's what he is intending to do. And he's hoping that he's laying some groundwork for the Romans to understand, Christians in Rome, to understand that they need to be willing to support others that are Christian believers as well. Right. And he gives it by example of the people of Macedonia and Achaia.
The Amplified says that there's that some other churches from Asia Minor were also involved in these in this offering.
Oh, absolutely.
Well. Yeah.
And Paul, when he collected them, was very specific in ways that I wish churches would do better today. And that is, he said, and you can appoint people to go with us if that's what you want. We don't want to make anybody think that we're skimming off the top or only giving part of things the way you want. He had a really good approach for it, trying to say giving is important to do, and it needs to go out to those in need, not to be sticky-fingered by other people. And he wasn't going to let anybody say that of him. But we do know that there have always been people who have been willing to help themselves before they help others.
Right. That
but he also brought out the point that, you know, just because Christianity started in Jerusalem did not mean that they stayed in good, grounded faith and always able to survive through famine. They suffered with them just like everyone else. And fellow Christians should be willing to support one another during those times of need.
Absolutely. You know, I'm regularly seeing where different Christian groups are out in the field. What's the American Baptist one's the One Great Hour of Sharing, I think.
Yes.
And they're always good for having people. You know, boots on the ground, so to speak, already having people ready to go.
But, and the One Great Hour of Sharing is also 100% of everything that is given for that is sent forward and out, because they already have other ways of paying the staff who are responsible for the oversight. And that's really amazing, too.
Yes, it is.
In verse 28, Paul goes on to say, therefore, when I have finished this, meaning taking the relief funds to Jerusalem, and have put my seal on this fruit of theirs, meaning that he's going to tell people and rightly brag on the folks who's sending these gifts. Which I do believe is truly important. But Paul goes back to the point saying, I'm coming to you on my way to Spain. And I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. The answer to that is yes, he did come in the fullness of Christ to Rome, but not the way he had planned. He had certainly not planned on being arrested and taken as a prisoner and kept under house arrest. Because the interesting thing for house arrest in the time of Rome was that the prisoner had to pay for the house. The prisoner had to pay the wages of the soldiers who were assigned in guarding him. And, of course, you would have had to feed them every day, because you don't want to not feed a soldier. I have too many years of experience with that to know otherwise. They eat. And that really, you know, is quite a burden when you think about trying to preach the gospel when you're chained to a soldier and having people come, and you have to be able to support that. And Paul was a tent maker, so we can assume, I know we should never use the word assume, but Paul was a tent maker, and he probably did a cottage industry work where he was under house arrest.
Right. Let's go with the deduction. We're deducing.
Okay, we're deducing. That's fine. Would you pick it up at verse 30 if you're ready, or if there's more that you want to say?
I am ready. I urge you, believers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join together with me in your prayers to God in my behalf, and pray that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, the Jewish believers, there, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and find rest in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen.
Great. Glad that there's a amen period there. All those who are listening, it is quite acceptable and expected of us to ask others to pray for us and for the ministries that we have and for the issues we have. Not just ourselves praying to God, but letting others know of the issues and praying, asking for prayer for them. Paul knew he was going into a whirlwind, if not a tornado, when he went back to Jerusalem. There's quite a few studies that we could do on that time period, but let's just say that there have always been divisions within the Christian church.
Yes.
And that is even true back in Jerusalem. And not everybody saw the faith the same way. There were those who were called Judaizers who expected, well, they treated Christians as graduated Jewish people. They literally thought that you had to go through all the Old Testament laws and do all the sacrifices according to the Old Testament laws, and then you could become a Christian while still maintaining all those Jewish requirements. That includes even circumcision for men and offering sacrifices. And it got to be a problem with believers because apparently Christian believers were still offering sacrifices at the temple. That was true when Paul got there, and which is Acts 19 through 21. And when Paul took all of those offerings and told the church leaders what was going on, they thought that was really fantastic. But they still wanted to show, I'm assuming, again, no, I'm deducing that it was the Judaizers, that he was still being faithful to the laws of Moses, because they asked Paul to take some fellow believers with him who are about to start a vow, and they go and they shave their heads, which means it's a Nazirite vow. And at the end of 7 days, they were supposed to do a sacrifice and see where that would cause the problems, because when Jesus died on the cross was the last time any Christians should have ever had a sacrifice.
Right.
But they apparently were doing it then.
Yeah.
And so God, I think, had Paul arrested back in that portion of Acts, and that's how he went from place to place to place, because he appealed to Caesar. But he was praying, he was asking them. He knew he was going into trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But he wanted his service to prove acceptable to the saints, and part of what he was doing might very well have been acceptable to the Judaizers, but not necessarily the true Christians that were there. But then he was, so that he does all that, so that he can come to you in joy by the will of God and find refreshment in your company. He might have been looking for a little bit of time of R&R in a sense, but he didn't get that.
Right.
He instead went through what we've already spoken about.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And it's really, yeah, it's good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
and we have the mysterious sounding ending at the end of chapter 15.
Right.
Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. It sounds like he's finished. But then he goes on with chapter 16, and chapter 16 has many important items in it.
Yeah.
That I'm glad we have the chapter. But it's a mysterious ending at the end of 15. I have that it is 8:20 your time. Am I doing well?
Yeah, we're doing fine. Got another 10 minutes.
Okay. Wanted to make sure.
We are good.
Shall we continue on then with chapter 16?
Let us get into chapter 16. They're hitting me with notes right out of the gate on chapter 16.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm being amplified.
Well, why don't you start it then with some of those notes?
Okay. Verse 1 of 16 says, "Now I introduce and commend to you our sister Phoebe." Now, when I open the note, it says Phoebe, which means bright and pure, was chosen by Paul as his emissary to deliver this letter to Rome. She may have held a recognized position within the church. And then it goes on to say a deaconess, a servant, at the church of Centria. I'm not sure on the pronunciation there.
You did find it, Centria.
Okay. Let's see. And Centria is a few miles east of Corinth and served as Corinth's port and was probably visited by Paul during both his second and third missionary journeys. This letter was written from Corinth near the end of the third journey.
There is an important part. Good. I'm glad if you don't mind pausing there.
No, not at all.
It is amazing. Paul, who always seems like he could have been maybe a woman hater, really wasn't. But
right.
In Greek, the word for deacon and the word for deaconess, which you just read from the Amplified, it's the same word. There's no gender difference.
Oh.
And to realize that she is elevated up to a point where you'd think from Paul's earlier writings, you know, that no, we aren't going to get women into this stuff and they don't have the right place. She literally elevated to the same level as male deacons, which he writes about elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But he's introducing her because she may be the one carrying the letter. I have no problem with that. It very well may be true, because why else would he be introducing her in the letter if not her carrying it? That you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints. Listeners, one and all, in Christ, we are all saints when we have accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord. It is not something that happens and transpires to special people only 100 or so years after they have died. We are saints. It's not easy, especially for this father saying that of his son, but we are all saints. And we should rejoice in that knowledge, because we are really at an elevated position in Christ that is set apart to do further work for the kingdom. And Paul's saying that Christians should treat other Christians better than anyone else. And we don't do very well with that, but we should be. And he goes on with, help her in whatever matters she may have need of you. And for she herself has also been a helper of many and of myself as well. This is just wow from Paul saying that this lady has been helping him. Jesus had females helping with his ministry all through it and financially supporting it. It shouldn't be strange. But to be able to see this about Paul saying, yes, this woman has been a help to me, when we read elsewhere that he doesn't seem to always have that kind of attitude, respect, and gratitude for females.
Mm-hmm.
Pick it up from verse 3, please.
Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Now, Prisca and Aquila, who are they?
Husband and wife, Priscilla in some translations, and Aquila, the husband. If you go back in
she's first.
If you go back in the book of Acts, they are first mentioned there, and they have been, along with other, well, actually with other Jewish believers, driven out of Rome. Persecution
right.
of Jews has happened many, many times, and it had happened in Rome. And they're back in Acts. I'm sorry I don't have the chapter, but it's probably Acts 18. But when they get there and they're talked about in Acts, it starts off with Aquila and Priscilla, or Prisca.
Right.
That's the only time the husband is mentioned first. After that, it is always the wife who is introduced first in writing. And it is believed because that she may very well have been the stronger Christian believer of the two. And you're right. It is unusual to see any time the wife's name first, but here it is. But they are both fellow workers, but if it is indeed by the response that they have, she's listed that way. And
right.
who for my life risked their own necks in my translation. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Just doesn't sound like regular language. They risk their own
yeah.
necks. It sounds modern.
Yeah.
But
risk their own necks for my life.
Yep. And they were very instrumental in helping the apostle Apollos to understand and learn about Jesus. Apollos was literally a follower of John the Baptist. And he was telling people about repenting and being baptized, and Priscilla and Aquila meet him and hear that, and they explain to him the coming of Jesus and all that's gone on, and Apollos becomes one of the big prominent Christian preachers in Corinth.
He's the one Paul said of in some context, I planted, Apollos watered, and God got the harvest, or something to that effect.
That is from 1 Corinthians, and it's when Paul was addressing that particular area. That area's church had divided into four parts. One group followed Apollos.
Oh, wow.
We have to do the sinner's prayer.
Do. Okay, we'll get back to this next week.
We will pick up with Priscilla and Aquila.
Yes. If you've come this far, then maybe you found something worthwhile, and maybe it's time to go a little further. We'd like to invite you right now to join us in the sinner's prayer. And it's just a simple little thing, and it's how you become a Christian. So if you'll follow along real quickly. Dear Lord, please forgive me of my sins. I am a wicked person who has been disobedient in many things. Please wash me so I might be pure as snow, and turn my eyes away from sin and toward you. Come into my heart and guide me on the path that I should take, so that I may have the abundant and wonderful life you want me to have. All these things and more we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And so, yeah, so that's about all of our time. Wow, we got into some really interesting stuff. It's going to be hard to wait for next week.
Yes, it is indeed. Get ramped up and really going forward.
Remember to tune in on Saturday for Anything Can Happen Saturday, provided I'm not sick again.
and we will see you on the air.
God's blessing, one and all.
God bless you all, and welcome to Christianity. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.